What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List podcast. It's Brian and Mario on this holiday rendition of the Start Sit show. We've got four games for you, and I couldn't think of a better guy to do it with. How you doing today, Mario?
Brian, I'm doing well. It's been a lifetime since my birds embarrassed themselves on television in the game of the week, so I'm optimistic. I'm ready for the Black Friday game, the blackout.
Ready for the bounce back for the Eagles after giving up a 21-point lead, man. I can't believe I still can't believe it happened. And it wasn't all on the offense, you know? They did their job in the first half.
Yeah, I blame penalties. That's what I'm going down. 12 penalties, 12-plus penalties. The refs had it against us. We get it. That's what happens when you're Super Bowl champions.
Hey, look, Jerry Jones does not spare a dime when it comes to referees. He had them paid up and ready to roll in that game.
So that makes the Cowboys game super interesting, this one, because it's like an unstoppable force of Jerry Jones's wallet versus protecting Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't know. Refs are going to make it out pretty well on this one. But yeah, we got three games on Thursday. We have the Black Friday game we're going to go through here for you. Don't miss Friday's episode where Jay and I finish going through the rest of the Sunday game as well as the Monday. But let's go a little festivities here. Thanksgiving. It's the common topic. Favorite food item around the Thanksgiving table?
Oh, stuff me with stuffing. Like, easy peasy. It's something about flavored bread, really, covered in gravy. I could eat a bucket of it.
I feel like stuffing's one of those it's easily messed up. Like, when I go to the big family get-togethers, I'm like, I'm not touching the stuffing. I don't want that. My aunt, she's good at a few things, and cooking's not one of them.
They got the box for that, for those people.
I feel like mashed potatoes is the easy one. I do love me, you know, again, the gravy on the mashed potatoes, but give me sweet potatoes, man. I love me some sweet potatoes. I don't even need the marshmallows on top. Nice little brown sugar crumble on top. Ho,
I don't need one sugary concoction. I have another one, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and it feels like you're eating dessert right there during the dinner table. We've got four games here for you, and they're pivotal start sit questions. Like, these aren't like, let me kind of pull away from this Thursday game like we usually do because I want to see what better options I have. We've got big implications here. Four big games, eight teams that have players just littered across the fantasy landscape. So a lot of questions, a lot of if this or that. I mean, you got anything? You ready to get this thing started?
I'm ready to dive in. This is a good slate. Like you said, like, there are sometimes it's easy to say when in doubt, Thursday out. There's too many pivotal players that you just can't do that. So it's going to be a good Thanksgiving on football.
And for years growing up, I was like, why do we watch the Detroit Lions? Why do they get a Thanksgiving game each and every year growing up? It was always such a bad one for the most part.
Yeah,
I'm excited. Excited we got Detroit Lions now taking a part of these Thanksgiving festivities these last couple of years.
It's going to be great. I think I saw Joe Burrow actually had a quote where he's talking about growing up, he'd watch Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson like light it up on Thanksgiving and still lose anyways. So it's just like, oh, my gosh.
You know, always getting the shade there. Hopefully in a dome game, they're all right, though, in this one. Let's start it off there in Detroit. First game we have, the 1 o'clock if you're East Coast. 7-3-1 Packers taking on the 7-4 Lions. The Lions, who are not in the playoffs right now. 49-point over under. Detroit's favored by 2.5. As we do, let's start with the quarterbacks.
As we do, we're QB list after all. Quarterback. So Detroit allows the 9th most to quarterbacks. Green Bay allows the 5th fewest. Even despite that, I think I take home Goff over what's going on the other side. Love has been very extreme one way or another over the last 5 weeks. These are his finishes last 5 weeks in no particular order. QB 1, QB 8, QB 24, 24, 26. So he's either incredible or unstartable.
Yeah, Tucker Kraft, it's been a huge hit to this offense. Christian Watson seems to be the only consistent piece. Romeo Doubs even fell behind as far as the pecking order with the targets this past week. I do have, I've got Love at 14 this week, and then I've got Goff at 12. So Goff feels like an easy start for me. Love, I'd probably be willing to pivot. You know, whether your quarterback, your backup's playing on Sunday or whatever, I'd be willing to move out of this game if you could.
I agree 100%. I don't take that risk here. It's funny that you have him ranked around 14 because, again, like, he either finishes top 8 or abysmal. So he doesn't know how to finish QB 14.
And I don't know how to rank him. So I split the difference and take it right there in the middle.
There it is.
Running backs, Jahmyr Gibbs, after his 49.9 half-point performance this past week, he is just as easy as it gets in the game like this.
Oh, he is the easiest one here because everywhere else it's, a headache. We talked about Monty a little bit in the sit start, or excuse me, in the booms bus yesterday, but Monty, I don't know, like when in doubt, this might be the Thursday out. It's just, I think I take a chance on a waiver guy. I take a chance possibly kind of going to the other side. We saw Wilson was an absolute stud last week against Minnesota. Josh Jacobs, we're still keeping an eye on him. It is so early in the week, but Thursday game, of course. But Josh Jacobs was estimated limited due to his knee on Monday. So we'll have to see what happens Tuesday and even Wednesday. But if Jacobs can't go out there, I'd put Williams in over Monty. Like, I think Monty could sit this week.
Yeah, I think on the other side, it gets pretty easy as far as Jacobs plays. He's in. If it's Emmanuel Wilson, you're playing him. Both guys are easy there. Monty, I have him at RB29 this week. Let's play a game. David Montgomery or Tyrone Tracy against New England.
Tracy. I would take Tyrone Tracy Monday Night Football.
He's got a rough matchup as well, playing the Patriots. But Tyrone Tracy, the last 2 weeks, he's looked significantly better.
Yes, he has. The Jameis effect.
Let's say Kamara is officially out. Devin Neal, are you taking the risk with Devin Neal off the waiver wire or David Montgomery?
I think I would take the risk. I think Monty, we've just kind of seen it. We thought he was matchup proof. He would just trip into the end zone when they get close. That's not happening anymore.
Kenneth Gainwell against a great matchup against Buffalo. It looks like he is carving more of a role into this. Where are you going out of those two?
That one's tough because Gainwell could very easily just not even see the field, really, with the lead back there, Jaylen Warren, just taking all the snaps. But even still, I think that's where I do the Thursday out, and it kills me because that's been a Thanksgiving tradition of mine, watching David Montgomery on Thanksgiving, rooting for him. But it's been down bad these last few weeks.
Yeah, I've got Kenneth Gainwell in at RB24, so five spots higher. I'm taking him over David Montgomery. Going down to these wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, easy plug and play there. The question starts to get Jameson Williams after his dud he put up this past week.
Oh, man.
Christian Watson is going to be the other guy. Like, who would you rather play over those two?
I would take Christian Watson because there's a chance. I'll say I have them ranked as Watson is a high wide receiver three with touchdown upside. Jameson Williams has the upside of a wide receiver one finish, but the floor of a non-existent, like you said, a zero, a true zero. So wide receiver four, it's unbelievable. I can't have that in my lineup. It's not worth the risk. Right now we're on the precipice. I think we're 2 weeks removed from getting into the fantasy playoffs. I can't take that risk. Maybe if I really need that swing play, but give me points. Give me points over nothing.
Yeah, Watson's more of the floor play for me. JMO would be the ceiling play going into it.
Yeah.
And then tight ends. Then, or what else you got?
I was just going to say, you mentioned Watson. Is there any other, like Romeo Doubs has been targeted here and there, but I feel like everybody else is a wide receiver for one of the Packers. You just can't trust him.
I completely agree, especially no bye weeks this week. I think you can find better options than rolling out Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs last 3 weeks, 3 targets, 8 targets, and 4 targets. He's turned that into 23, 53, and 5 yards. I'm okay. You've got better options.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Luke Musgrave, Brock Wright, pass.
Yeah, I mean, they're not getting passes, so I'm going to pass from putting them in my lineup. We're just still mourning Tucker Kraft.
Unfortunately, that just killed so much from, I mean, one of the best tight end plays to the Green Bay Packers offense.
It truly affected this offense. It should still be a great game, though. Who do we got winning it?
I'm going to take the Lions. 2.5-point favorites. I've been too excited when they're 10-plus point favorites, but it seems like these close games, they're winning the close games. They're doing it what happens when it is close. When they're big favorites, that's when things get a little hairy. So give me Detroit.
Yeah. Oh, man. If it really was any other team but the New York Giants last week, I think they lose that game. So I'm going to give it to Green Bay. I think, like you said, they're both really fighting for playoff positioning. I'm going to give it to Green Bay.
Nice. Nice. Let's go to Dallas for our next game. It's the 6-5 Chiefs playing the 5-5-1 Cowboys. 52.5-point over under. Kansas City's favored by 3. Starting out quarterbacks. Okay. How many quarterbacks do you think I have ranked above Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, great question. I would say 4. 0. Oh, he's holding 0. Up a 0, folks, for the listeners at home.
QB1 is where I've got Patrick Mahomes as of right now. Wow. I've got Dak Prescott in my top 8 as well. I think this is going to be a good game for both of them, but give me Patty, number 1 quarterback on the week.
Yeah, he's going against Dallas, who allows the most points to quarterbacks. Mahomes quarterback three on the season. I will say he has kind of bad finishes these last 3 weeks of 10, 14, and 22. But like you said, the matchup's so juicy. It's going to be on Thanksgiving. There's going to be points galore. I love Patrick Mahomes. And Dak as well. Dak has two straight QB3 finishes. Seems like he's just keeping it rolling.
Yeah, it's hard to walk away from what he's being able to accomplish there with his best wide receiver and CeeDee Lamb. Running back, Javonte Williams, he has an uphill battle in this one. I have him as a middling RB2. You know, a touchdown or two can save his day, but I think you're really banking on that one in this game.
Agreed. It's a tougher matchup. Kansas City allows the fourth fewest, but at the same time, I'm not overthinking it here. He's been a pretty reliable running back too. A touchdown does save his day, but I trust him even if he doesn't to get 60 plus yards. I'd say he's good for. He gets a touchdown that sweetens the pot. It's really tough again on the Thursday, but I'd have him over most folks.
Nice. On the other side, we got some issues. Pacheco is back. Kareem Hunt last week, 30 rushes on the ground. It took him that many to get to 100 yards, but it was great. You knew who to play today, this game, Thanksgiving. I have Hunt ranked over Pacheco, but his ceiling has come down. You know,
his ceiling has come down, but if we even look back, because of course Pacheco missed the last 2 weeks. Before that, week 10's the bye. Week 9, with both of them in the lineup, Kareem Hunt finishes with 12 points. Week 8, both of them in the lineup, Kareem Hunt finishes with 16 points. Now you go a little bit before that, it's tougher matchups, it's fewer points. But that being said, we've seen that production can exist. To me, Hunt continues to be the red zone guy. Like, there's not even close. It's not a competition about who's the red zone back. So I still plug in Kareem Hunt. I have him, like, kind of, we talked about Tyrone Tracy was an example. He also has a tough matchup, but I think they're pretty comparable. And I would have Hunt even over Tracy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I've got him ranked there. Pretty decent floor, like we said, the touchdown upside, but like the ceiling, it's a house in the Shire. It's just virtually, it's not that high.
That's a new one for me.
wide receivers, we've got quite a few to choose from. CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, doesn't matter who you like more. If you think Pickens is the guy right now, you're playing them both. Both these guys have to be looked at as wide receiver ones this week.
Yeah, Pickens has been the guy lately, but CeeDee Lamb, too talented not to start, but it is concerning. He leads the league in drops. Other side, Dallas allows the most points. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I don't know what it is. Like, Dak was playing terrific against the Eagles. It was just CeeDee Lamb tried to keep the Eagles in the game, and I appreciate him for that. Other side, Dallas allows the most points, which we love. Rice will have to monitor. He was expected to practice on Tuesday yesterday due to his hamstring issue. If he's in, he's in my lineup. No questions there. It's everybody else. Are they worth starting, or is it kind of like a Green Bay situation where none of these guys are anybody's?
I guess if for whatever reason, if Rashi Rice doesn't play, Worthy will be in my flex consideration a lot easier. Hollywood Brown, I think you can probably find other options. Like we said, there's no bye week this week. So I don't know if I'm like trying to force in other options if Rashi Rice isn't there. If Rice is out there, I have him as my wide receiver too.
Yeah, if Rice is out there, he is a top dog. He, like we said, incredible matchup. I mean, he's become Patrick Mahomes' guy. It's so funny to see where he was drafted, of course, missing all those games. But in redrafts, I think he would be drafted even sooner because he's just so much value.
Yeah, I think that second round is where you would have found him had there not been a six-game suspension. Xavier Worthy, you playing him or Alec Pierce against Houston?
I think if Rice is healthy, I think I would take a chance on Pierce, the hot waiver name a few weeks ago.
I've got him back to back. Worthier or Quentin Johnston?
Quentin Johnston, I think.
I have Johnston.
It's just so tough.
I've got Johnston ahead of him, but I think I'm going to change that. I think I'm going to put Worthy. Worthy's a wide receiver three for me, but this game, the highest upside you can possibly have when ranking him there because they're playing Dallas. 9.8 points over expectation per game in this. So DK Metcalf or Xavier Worthy.
Oh my goodness, that one's close. DK has been kind of hot recently, and I just picked him up in the Grand Theft Auto League, so unbiased, but DK Metcalf.
Of course we play each other this week.
Ooh.
And in magical fashion, you beat Higgins me earlier revenge, in the season. Man. You stole Higgins from me, and you don't even get to use him against me this week. So
brutal.
I do brutal. Love the...
no Higgins revenge game.
Just the we'll the get drama to that game. That builds into that one. Travis Kelce, I've got him closer to tight end 1. Jake Ferguson in this game, I've got him closer to tight end 12.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. Ferguson, we've seen, has the talent. It's just been not... The emergence of Pickens has really hurt Ferguson. That's kind of what it is.
Yeah, ever since we got both these wide receivers back in the lineup, I think he's only got one touchdown over the last 4 games, and that was his bread and butter earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Who are you picking? I'm taking Kansas City.
I think so. I'll pick Kansas City with the points.
I think the Cowboys might have used up a good chunk of their luck last week. So if they can pull it off back-to-back, good on them. But I just don't see it happening. Chiefs are going to have to run hot for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, this one should be some good football.
Next up, the Burrow return. 3-8 Bengals taking on the 6-5 Ravens in Baltimore. 52-point over-under. Baltimore is favored by 7 in this one. Let's start with these quarterbacks. We got... Let down Lamar over here. The last few weeks have not been pretty. QB 25, QB 29, QB 15, or 29, yeah, QB 15 and QB 9 since his return from injury.
Yeah, Cincinnati allows the third most to quarterbacks. This Lamar better have a bounce back. Like, your fantasy season rides on it. I think you have to start him. There's not a lot of guys I would start over him. Actually, here's a great list of guys I would start over Lamar Jackson. I would start Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Drake May, Matt Stafford, and Joe Burrow over Lamar Jackson.
I've got Lamar at number 2 this week.
Oh.
I don't disagree. If for whatever reason you've got May, Hurts, Allen, Herbert, or Stafford, I'm willing to play them over Lamar. But the matchups don't get much juicier than this over the next 3 weeks for him.
No. These have to be get-right games.
Absolutely. I do have Joe Burrow at 9. There are 8 other quarterbacks I don't think you should start him above, but I have him at 9, and I'm okay either way. Like, if you have Joe Burrow and Sam Darnold, you know, I don't mind if you want to wait a week on Joe Burrow. If you have Jacoby Brissett.
Sam Darnold. Brissett, maybe.
Jared Goff. But, like, after that, I think the upside with Joe Burrow is just so hard to ignore when it comes down to, like, the Jordan Loves, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones, Brock Purdy. Like, I want Joe Burrow over all those guys.
Oh, absolutely. Joe Burrow, we've seen what he can do. He's kind of one of those last quarterbacks, almost, I guess, like Drake May, because Drake May doesn't really use his legs. He's just wheeling and dealing. So, like, a Matt Stafford-esque, Joe Burrow is that, but... He's a younger Matt Stafford, a more experienced Drake May. He's in that perfect sweet spot where, like I said, I could see a top 5 finish coming right back from injury.
Same. And there's a huge over-under jump from these Thanksgiving games to the remainder of them. When it comes to running backs, these guys are getting virtually all the work with Chase Brown on one side, Derrick Henry on the other. I have both of them as auto starts for me this week.
Have to be. Tractor Cito season is upon us, and Cincinnati allows the most points to running back.
Yeah, Derrick Henry should have a couple touchdowns in this one. Wide receivers, this is where things open up a bit. Jamar Chase, the spit and wonder, is back in the lineup. So we're playing him. T. Higgins out with a concussion. So as Jamar Chase finds your lineup, Andre Yoshivas, are you going back to the well with them as he finds himself as the wide receiver 2 yet again this week?
I do. Like, for instance, like, I would have him over Worthy, over Hollywood Brown, those kinds of names. But at the same time, with so many players with no bye weeks this week, it's really tough. Like, just out of some names out of the hat, like Juwan Jennings, I would start over him. I think I'd start any of the wide receivers in the Chargers. So QJ, Keenan Allen, Ladd, all over AI. AI has some value, but he's probably still a wide receiver 3 to me.
Parker Washington, who's been looking good of late, or Andre Yoshivas.
That one's interesting because it seems like Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be back this week. But even still, I think I would take Washington.
Yeah, I've got those two pretty close in my ranks right now. So I'm kind of trying to decide. On the other side, Zay Flowers. Yeah, you're playing him as a wide receiver 3. He's playing the Bengals, so there's always upside. But it's been wide receiver 30, 21, 30, 33, 28, 47, 33, 26, 89, 31. Oh, and then wide receiver 1 in week 1.
Yeah, wide receiver one in week one. If you sold him then, you're a genius. But otherwise, he's really come back down to earth. Like you said, wide receiver three is appropriate. It really could be him or AI. Like whoever you think would win this game, I would start them in that coin toss.
And then when we come down here to tight ends, I've got Mark Andrews as my tight end two on the week. I'm probably going to have him a tight end one by the end of it. It's just the matchup. It doesn't get better than this. Last week we saw Hunter Henry. Absolutely, like he had 8 points above the tight end two on the week. Who do you play? Oh, Cincinnati. Yeah, that's right. Austin Hooper was getting more work than the wide receivers last week. So, yeah, Mark Andrews is an easy play for me. And then honestly, Mike Gesicki. We saw the rule last week. Yeah, when T. Higgins is out, Mike Gesicki comes in. He does pretty well. I'm going to have him as a top 12 play this week.
Agree to entirely. It reminds me of what we talked about with Jake Ferguson, right? Like when one of the two stud wide receivers go out, their tight end is thrust into the offense. And that's what we're seeing right here.
And they paid him quite a bit in the offseason for whatever reason.
A lot. And he started off hot, but again, that was because it's tough, but he's cooled off.
And not a knock on Gesicki, but you paid Chase and you paid T. Higgins and you don't have anybody on the defense getting paid. So maybe we should have allocated just a sprinkle more money on the defense.
Oh, but yeah.
As far as fantasy goes, I'm glad they didn't.
Oh, my goodness. It makes for great television. It's going to be a great nightcap on Thanksgiving. I'll tell you that.
Oh, man. Yeah, 8:20 game. I'll probably stay up for this one.
Who wins it? I will give it to Joe Burrow. They at least cover.
I'm going to say Ravens win it, but like they didn't even cover the 13.5 against the Jets last week. So yeah, give me the team. Bengals to cover, but I like the Ravens to win it.
Oh, I think they won by 10 or something. Like they came close, but they didn't cover.
Yeah, I think they got 13 of the 13.5 points. So like
that's what it was. Yeah,
almost. But hey, it was still the Jets. Half. Still couldn't get it done. Okay. All right, finally, our last game here on the slate. I love this new tradition. Give me games on Friday. It's noon for the West Coasters, but it's cool. It's cool. Everybody's off that's on great. Friday. We're not leaving our houses anymore. 8-3 Bears taking on the 8-3 Eagles in Philadelphia. 44. And a half point over under. Philly's favored by 7.
7. Love to hear that. Let's jump in. This is Black Friday, by the way, and the Eagles are doing a blackout. This is the first and only time they're wearing their black unis. They got the black helmet. They posted on social. It's like, hey, fans, show up in black. Like they're really trying to push it, so I'm excited about that.
And they pushed Kelly Green last week, and we saw that one. Sorry.
It was the first loss of Kelly Green.
Caleb Williams, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a stud for me again this week. We saw him take care of business last week despite the loss. Caleb Williams came in pretty well, but I imagine he's going to struggle a bit more than he has in the last few weeks. Typically, you're fading Caleb Williams or you have in a handful of these games. I'm going to be joining you if you are this week.
Listen, he keeps putting up numbers, but I think this is finally the matchup. I can say I'm right. The defensive line is one of the few strengths of the Eagles. Their secondary got a little banged up. Reed Blankenship left the game early last week. I'm not sure if he'll be back this week. Hasn't been reported yet, so we'll see. But either way, the defense is one of the few strengths of the Eagles at this time. So I have Caleb just outside the QB1, and Hurts, I love. Chicago has the 10th most of quarterbacks, and Hurts has not been the problem in this offense.
Yeah, Caleb Williams, Jordan Love is kind of a coin flip for me, but like Jacoby Brissett, Jared Goff, Bo Nix, I like all three of these guys over Caleb Williams this week.
Yeah, Bo Nix is someone that's kind of cooled off and lost his shine, but I agree just because of the really tough matchup.
Yeah, Bo Nix plays Washington. I can't believe that he won't pull it off in this game, even if it's just in the fourth quarter, as he does. But I put him back here in the top. I'm hoping he doesn't disappoint. Speaking of disappointing, let's talk about DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai. Kyle Manungai is coming off 3 straight games with a touchdown. That's fine. You know, vulturing touchdowns happens, but when you out-touch him, 12 carries last week to DeAndre Swift, fumbled the ball early on, so maybe that was the issue, but only 8 carries for him.
Yeah, brutal. I mean, at first I thought it was just Manungai was the hot hand, was the vulture, but like you said, like, we could almost see what's going on in New England where one guy is just kind of losing the trust. Swift had his lowest carries of the season. I think he does bounce back here. I think he's going to be the top dog again, but it's just a little rich for my blood. One in doubt, Friday out. I might almost like Manungai more than Swift because again, he's just the guy they're trusting when it comes to the red zone. Same thing we've talked about in the Giants situation. And that's why Singletary continues to have value, as he's just the guy. And Kareem Hunt's a better example, right? It doesn't matter who the lead back is. Who's the lead back when you're 10 yards away from 6 points?
Yeah, it's this one's really rough. It's not a great matchup for him. Like you said, the Eagles, their front seven look great. DeAndre Swift, I've got at RB28 right now. I've got Manunga at 34. It's because I can't decide who I want to put higher. Is this a changing of the guard? Because we're seeing the tight end switch over from Komet to Colson Loveland. We're seeing Zacchaeus pass it over to Burden. So is this a Manungai, taking it over from Swift? Or was this just a punishment game and, DeAndre Swift is going to be back out there and carrying the lion's share like he did 2 weeks ago?
And speaking of lines, I almost wish I need to go back and look at what Ben Johnson treated in the Detroit situation, right? Like, was Gibbs ever punished for an early fumble and then Monty got the rest of the carries? Like, I think that could be some better information if you really want to do the deep dive. But just at the surface level, I think I'd go Manungai over. Like, I think he just has the better upside right now, being the guy that trips into the end zone.
Off-topic question here. Out of Swift and Manungai, who do you think's taller?
Who do I think's taller? Manungai is a tall name.
Neither one of them. They're both 5'8".
Wow.
I could not believe that DeAndre Swift was that short, but also Kyle Manungai just... He doesn't play 5'8".
No, he runs big. That's another thing I thought. Like, Swift, I can picture as that scat back, but all right, muscle hamster.
All right. Juan Barkley, got him as an RB2 this week. That's just kind of where you have to look at him. You put him as an RB1, yeah. Your expectations just might be a bit high.
I have in my notes, you're praying for running back 2 production, because one of the biggest weaknesses right now is the offensive line of the Eagles is just banged up and they can't generate any kind of rushing attack. It seems like they're getting 2 yards a carry consistently, leaving them in third and longs. Then you have to force feed AJ Brown, which we'll get to. So it's just, as Barkley is the one suffering. We're talking about how Dallas Goedert suffers. Everybody's really suffering by the fact that they need to force feed AJ Brown here. But all of that to say, Barkley's a running back too.
Wide receivers, A.J. Brown, Barton Smith, putting them both in your lineups. A.J. Brown looked a lot better over the last 2 weeks. Hopefully this isn't just diva treatment and that he just all of a sudden disappears this week. But 10 targets, 11 targets over the last two games has given him some decent work. Devonta Smith, he suffered a little bit. 11 targets this past week, but wide receiver 20, 95, and 17 since the bye.
A big thing is it's a squeaky wheel, right? AJ Brown's being loud to the media. He's getting these targets. And Smith has been the more talented guy. When you're looking at this, he just seems like the better route runner. He's not giving up on plays. I still put Smith in my lineups. I still have Smith over AJ Brown, but it's definitely starting to become this target vortex in a negative way for AJ Brown. On the other side, I need to know, did Papa Odunze tweet this week? Because that has been my sole planning analysis when it comes to the Bears.
I haven't seen anything. He must be getting the fryer oil prepped and ready for the turkey this week, because he hasn't been on Twitter yet complaining about Odunze's work. 9 targets last week for Odunze, only brought in 3 for 53 yards. Led the team in targets, but definitely not production.
No, Brian Thomas Jr. special, we call that.
Yeah, Odunze, I've got him as a low-end wide receiver 2. Actually, I've got him at 25, so high-end wide receiver 3 right now.
I would, just talking about some of the other names we've talked about on this episode, right? Like, I would start Odunze over AI in Cincinnati. I would start him probably over the gaggle of Green Bay wide receivers.
Yeah.
I'd probably start him over Zay Flowers. Yeah. But it is, like you said, top of 3, low 2 feels about right.
Yeah, it's a struggle. DJ Moore, I know he had 2 touchdowns last week. Honestly, I want to own Burden over Odunze. Burden over DJ
Moore. Over Moore.
Yeah, DJ Moore might give you a little bit more work here and there. He's had 2 top 6 finishes in the last 4 weeks, but one of those was Cincinnati. So, can you really count that? And I don't want DJ Moore on my team, so I don't have to make the decision of whether or not to play him. I guess that's what it is. I think Luther Burden has a decent rest of season ahead of him, but DJ.
DJ Moore had 2 touchdowns, 2 receiving touchdowns last week. Before that, he had 1 the entire season. So let's not get caught up here. Let's not get the puppy dog eyes. It's like, we know who DJ Moore is this season. We love him as a player. This season, he's not that guy. I don't think he's that guy this week. The only saving grace, we talked about it, Eagles secondary might be banged up. Dory Jackson also left the game. So it was him and Reed Blankenship. We'll see if any of those guys return. Otherwise, that juices it up a little bit if you just have a depleted Eagle secondary.
Colson Loveland, I think he's a streaming option in that I have him at tight end 15, but I think he could fall in there at tight end 8, 10, somewhere in there. And Dallas Goedert, I got at tight end 12 on the week.
Yep, we've come full circle. Your take has aged to being correct about Dallas Goedert, because we just could not account for the fact that A.J. Brown would be this target vortex where offensives go to die. But yeah, if they can figure it out, if KP can get fired, then maybe Goedert has more value again.
Nice. I guess who you got winning this game?
I got winning? Let's refer to the mug. Go Birds, the mug reads for first-time listeners. So I picked the Birds.
I'm going to take the Eagles, but I'll give you the Bears to cover. Yeah. Give me the Bears to cover. It's 7-point favorites, the Eagles. They've got some things they need to get figured out if they're going to make a back-to-back repeat there. I mean, that roster is built to repeat, but they definitely have some things to figure out over these final 6-7 weeks.
They got to figure it out. And all just a totally aside part of this matchup, I believe it's the only game where if you abbreviate the teams like to their first three letters, HI is the second and third letter. I noticed that in my notes. I think they're the only teams that do that. So there's your nugget.
Folks, that's why we come to this show. You find the best, the brightest, the deepest fills. love it. Nobody else is bringing in stats like that to their show.
That's right. That's why you come to this pod, which you can so conveniently find normally every Thursday. It drops every Fridays. Yeah, we record Thursdays.
That's right.
Drops normally. Yeah. Whew, thanks. Listen, we're all filled with turkey right now, so it's a little confusing. But yes, normally you'll find this pod every Friday. Brian and I talk about all the matchups. Again, there's going to be a second parter of this one covering the Sunday and Monday games, but I'm only going to be a part of this one. And you find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. I hope you took a look at the waiver wire article and pod that came out yesterday. Hope it helped you lead to some waiver wire wins as we're going into this playoff push. Brian, what do you got?
Folks, if you're looking for more of me, it's @too_much_Brian. All of my content is rolled up through my Twitter. If you're looking for me, I've got other podcasts, Too Much Fantasy Football. If you're looking for a more uncut version, you know, I don't bleep myself over there. So if you're looking for a little bit more laughs, that's what the work I'm doing over there. Of course, check out all of the articles we have over here on football.pitcherlist.com. Just because Thanksgiving's coming, we're not stopping. Team's working hard. Jay is busting through his birthday just to get all these start sit articles ready. Christian's helping out the rest of the ranked team, I believe. They're giving it a shot. Rankings will be posted on the website. As per usual, check out the delayed episodes. But folks, we're here for you. Enjoy your holiday. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, your three games. Of course, that Black Friday, of course. Mario, anything else for the people?
Go Birds. See you next week.
I knew it. I should have known, folks. That was on me. We'll see y'all next time. Later.